I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs 4, 1 and 2. Listen, my sons, to the instructions of a father, and pay attention so that you may gain understanding. For I give you good teaching. Do not abandon my instruction.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
You know, I've heard it said among some of the men that on Mother's Day, mothers are lauded, and on Father's Day, I'll diplomatically say they're challenged. The words beat up on might also have been mentioned. Today, I want to take a little different approach to a view of fathers, and I hope that when we leave today, we can have a greater appreciation for fatherhood. There's a distinction between worldly fatherhood success and Christian fatherhood success, and it centers entirely on what is valued, what is measured, and what lasts. While worldly success prioritizes physical, temporary achievements, Christians' success focuses on eternal spiritual stewardship. The only common ground between earthly and spiritual fathers is generally the physical provision of such. Scripture establishes that both worldly and Christian frameworks require the basic care of our families here on earth. A father who fails to provide basic necessities is strictly condemned by biblical standards. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That's the only common ground that the two models of fatherhood have together. Christian and worldly fathers need to take care of their families. So both a successful worldly father and a Christian father work to provide food, shelter, and security. However, this is where the similarities end and the paths divide. The first division or contrast, if you will, is the core motivation. Worldly success is driven by the internal desire of human nature and social status, whereas Christian fatherhood is driven by love for God and obedience to His character. The worldly metric is driven by what John calls the traits of the world. 1 John 2:15 and 16 says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." So if we try to apply that worldly model, we would say success is measured by accumulating possessions, achieving career status, and boasting of family accolades. But the Christian model or metric is different. It's driven by a deep personal devotion to God's commandments, passed down organically through daily life. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 7, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." The Christian father is measured by how intentionally he integrates the love of God into everyday rhythms of his household. Is God honored in that household? Is God talked about in that household? Do we foster a sense of love. The second contrast I would look at today is the method of upbringing and discipline. Worldly success relies on behavioral compliance, cultural trends, or the occasional personal anger to force results. I don't know what that looked like in your household, but I've seen that one. probably did me a lot of good. Anyway, Christian success relies on loving, patient, spiritual training modeled after God's heart. The worldly metric can lean heavily on temporary fixes, performance-based validation, or harsh demands that breaks a child's spirit. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. The Christian metric avoids provoking the child to anger, choosing instead to nurture them using God's design for correction and truth. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Hebrews 12:10, they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. The third contrast is the ultimate inheritance that we receive. The most striking contrast is the shelf life of the legacy that's left behind. Worldly fatherhood focus on things that dissolve at death, while Christian fatherhood aims for eternal treasures. The worldly metric, accumulating financial inheritance, physical property, or a prominent family name that ultimately fades away. 1 John 2:17 says, the world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives. The Christian metric is passing down a spiritual wisdom and a foundation of faith that guides generations into eternity. Proverbs 4:1 and 2, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Psalm 78:4, we will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. These differences in fatherhood are stark in the Christian home, and they make a difference in the world. We're told to shine our light. Our fathers, doing it according to the Christian model, shine a light to their children, a way to guide them, a lamp to their feet, if you will. It shows them how to be happier and content. It shows them how to love. It shows them how to put forth those things which are of greater importance than the things of this world. Being a good Christian father is one of the highest things that a man can try to do. It's important that we encourage and strengthen one another in that work. God even makes provisions for those of us who do not have physical fathers remaining on earth. Matthew 19:29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or wife or children or fields for the sake of my name will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. You know, there are people in this world that, although they're not my mom, who I think's the greatest in the world, or not my dad, who I think's the greatest in the world, they're here today, so I have to say that. I believe that, whether they're here or not. But whether they're here or not, there are men and women who have worked in my life to help me in a parental way. And I think for all of us, it's important to find a congregation where those wise moms and dads in Christ can help us out. So God makes provision for us. We do sometimes have a worldly view of our fathers. You know, we want our fathers to look as sharp as James Bond. We want our fathers to be as wonderful as some of the 50s dads that were on the sitcoms, right? Nobody wants their dad to look like Homer Simpson, right? Nobody wants that. I hope nobody wants that. But what they look like is not the issue. It's how they act and what they do for us in their life and what they've done for us. J.R.R. Tolkien, in a lot of his writings, parallels Christian ideology. And he has a poem in his book, The Lord of the Rings, that has a lot of parallels to Jesus Christ. But I think it's also applicable to our view of our fathers. Tolkien observed about that view in that poem, "All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost." You know, our dads might not be the glittering dad. You know, the guy that can drive up in a sports car while you're meeting with your friends and he impresses them. He might not be the guy that is extremely wealthy and everybody in town wants to see him. He might not be the guy that has extreme physical strength, but that doesn't mean that he's not gold. You know, I was told recently that my wife is worth her weight in gold. Our fathers that are Christians are worth their weight in gold. They directed us a certain way. Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3 says, "He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him." That's a description in Isaiah of Jesus Christ. He was not majestic. He was not necessarily handsome. There was nothing about him that was charismatic that we should desire him. But yet, we follow him. Dads, that's what we need to be. And I hope that our children look at us that way. Dads aren't to be evaluated by their handsomeness, their physical strength, their wealth, or their status. They're to be loved because of their love for us. When I look back on my life, I remember my dad's oily boots. My dad worked as a machinist, and he had these boots, and they were always black and oily, and they had little flecks of metal on them. And he'd leave them in a box by the door. And every time I walked by that door to go out to the garage or in the backyard, I saw Dad's oily boots. And I knew that he went to work every day to take care of me. I know that he set a good example for me, a good Christian example. Whether it was going out at night and visiting people, whether it was dragging us to every little congregation on the planet where he would preach, which benefited me also. Whether it was showing charity to others. I've had people come up to me out of the blue that were members of the church who told me what my dad did for them financially. My dad set a good example. And my dad sacrificed. So did my mom, but it's Father's Day. My dad sacrificed. I was able to go to college, a Christian college. That wasn't cheap. Yeah, I had to do my part. I had to go work during the summer. I had to make good grades. I had to behave properly. But my dad sacrificed so I could go to college. And now my life is different. I don't have to run a jackhammer in 2-degree weathers. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm 63, and I can't imagine making it this long if I would have been running a jackhammer in 2-degree weather. That's not the kind of work that I wanted to do. So my life was different, and I've been able to do different things. You know, for a while there, it seemed like the success of a father was whether he was able to take his kids to Disney or not. I got nothing against going on a Disney trip. I've been able to do that. That was fun. But that's not what we look at when we're trying to understand whether there's a good father. I know there are good fathers in this congregation who have done some wonderful things for their children. I hope and pray that we as children honor our mother and our father. Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Look at your parents, look at your father with the right eye, with a spiritual eye. Look at them and remember the things that were good that they did for you. And if you're a father, try to emulate that with your children. You know, that doesn't mean they're still going to be faithful. I still look at that story of the prodigal father, and his kid went off and lived in riotous living. But that kid came home eventually, and the father was there, and he loved him. He ran down the street to try to take care of him. That's how much he loved him. I know there are some of you here who would give anything to have another moment with your mother or father. I hope that you're looking forward to the day when we can see them and be reunited again with them in heaven. I hope that you're looking forward to the day when God blesses us with being the lambs and not the sheep. And I pray that you're living your life so that you get there. This morning, if you need help being a father, if you need help being a parent, if you need help remembering those good things, if you're having a difficult time being a parent, we would love to pray with you and help you and talk about it. If you have not lived your life in such a way that you're right with God, we would love to baptize you into Christ so that you can live to walk in newness of life. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come while we stand and sing.